God forgives and restores all who call on his name. Believe the good news of the gospel. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Almighty God, open our eyes to see you in the midst of our struggles. Open our ears to hear your words of assurance. Open our minds to recall your wonderful works. Open our hearts to receive your saving grace. Now, today our scripture lesson is from the fourth chapter of Mark. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this story is familiar to many of us, and in it we see Jesus making a quick exit. He says, "Let's go to the other side." He is really talking about the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He has been teaching on one side, the western side of the sea, and multitudes all day long have sought him. And there are people who are in need of healing all day long. And he just gets to the point. The story implies he just gets to the point where he is exhausted. You know, sometimes we get to that point too, don't we? And it's helpful to me to remember that our Lord Jesus knows what it's like to be tired. And so it looks almost as though he is abandoning his audience, those who have come to hear him speak. And he reaches that point of exhaustion and he says, "Let's go to the other side." You will have noticed in the scripture that it says there were other boats which accompanied them. And some scholars think that those probably belonged to other followers of Jesus who went around with them, but were not part of the inner circle of 12. And so the other boats and this boat, which contained Jesus and his disciples, begins across the lake. The scriptures say that they did not take any provisions with them. It says they just took him as he was. In other words, they did not pack a picnic lunch. They did not have a time to get a change of clothes. They just went as they were. Now, experienced fishermen, which most of Jesus' disciples were, know that bodies of water, such as the Sea of Galilee, are subject to quick and sudden squalls, sudden storms that seem to come out of nowhere, and they are unexpected. The Sea of Galilee, it's really just a large lake. The Sea of Galilee, though, is 7 miles across and 13 miles long, so it is no small body of water. But seasoned fishermen know that most of these squalls occur in the daytime, so they figured, since it clearly says that evening had come, that they clearly figured that they were probably safe, that nothing was going to happen since the day had already concluded. And incidentally, that's why so much of the fishing in Israel to this very day occurs at night, because that's normally not the time when the storms come up. But this night was different. Jesus, in his exhaustion, had gone to the stern of the boat and had laid his head on a cushion and had fallen into a deep, exhausted sleep. And then the story says that a great windstorm arose, and that the water became so powerful and the waves became so high that they began to swamp the boat. Can't you just see them in your mind's eye with their buckets trying to bail out, and they can't keep up with the amount of water that's coming into their boat? That was a dangerous situation. They are in trouble. There's no such thing as the Coast Guard. There's no such thing as life jackets. They knew they were in trouble. And in their fear and panic, they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Can't you hear the voices of you and I in that question? Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? Do you not know that my job is in danger? Do you not know that I've been downsized? Is it nothing to you that my family is breaking apart? Do you not know or do you not care that my health is deteriorating? Is it nothing to you that my children are out of control or that my household is in disruption? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We all know what it means to be afraid. We all know what it means to panic in the face of the storms and the waves that swamp our boats. Well, the story goes on to say that Jesus wakes up, and I can just kind of see him sort of stretching and kind of rousing himself and addressing the situation. And then he says, "Peace, peace, be still." He commands the wind and the waves, "Peace, peace, be still." And the story says that immediately there ensued a great stillness, a great calm. And then he asks his disciples, which indeed is a question that he asks all of us, "Why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith?" There is not a one of us here, regardless of our age or our situation, that does not know fear and that has not experienced panic in the face of the swamping of our boats, where we have not said in desperation, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" There's a little story written by Tony Ward and Kevin Stokes, and the chorus goes like this. "Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered, 'Peace, be still.' He can settle any sea, but that doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and the waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms the child." For reasons that are mysterious to us, sometimes the storms of life are allowed to rage around us. Sometimes the words that come to us from the Lord Jesus are to calm the child rather than the storm. But those words are always available to us, whether it's to calm the storms of life that seem to overwhelm us, or whether it's to give us courage and strength to face those storms. "Peace, peace," says the Lord Jesus. "Peace, be still." I want to tell you another story about a storm on the sea. Actually, it was a lake. This is a true story. It happened in the 1980s, and it was reported by the Chicago Tribune. It's one of my all-time favorite stories, and sometimes I use it at Advent, but it's a good story for other times of the year as well. It seems there was a family who lived in Chicago and who very much loved sailing. You know, Lake Michigan comes up against the shore and is one of the boundaries of the city of Chicago. But this family liked to sail on Lake Michigan. It's a huge body of water. It's called a lake, but it's really huge. You cannot see from one shore to the next. But this family liked to sail on Lake Michigan, and the time was April. It was an unseasonably fine April day, and it was a Saturday, so there wasn't any school. So the father said to his 9-year-old daughter, "Let's take the catamaran. catamaran is a small kind of sailing boat. He said, let's take the catamaran and go out on Lake Michigan. Well, she was wildly enthusiastic. She was ecstatic. And her mother dressed her in a little pink jumpsuit and a little pink sweater against the chill of the spring air. Things started out well. It continued to be a beautiful day until they got to about the middle of the lake. And suddenly a squall took place, just like it did in our story from the scriptures this morning. Out of nowhere, it seemed, the wind whipped up out of nowhere and began to overcome the little boat, and it began to rain. And pretty soon, because of the strength of this storm, the little boat was tipped over, and the father and the daughter were thrown out into the water of Lake Michigan. Because of the continued battering of the waves, pretty soon the catamaran itself was split in two. So even if they had been able to get it right, they would not have been able now to have sailed it. Well, the spring water in Lake Michigan is extremely cold. And the father knew that they were not going to be able to survive for very long in this cold water. And they could see nobody else out on the lake. There's no aircraft passing over. And so the dad said to the little girl, you stay here, you have your life jacket on, float on your back and hold on to the wreckage of the boat. I am going to swim to shore and bring us help. And I'll be back for you. I'm coming back for you. And so he began to swim. It was in excess of a mile. You know, swimming a mile is different from walking a mile. It takes longer, takes more energy, it's harder to do. And he swam just as hard as he could, and his muscles began to cramp with the cold of the water. And he began to be fearful that he could not take one more stroke. But the image of his little girl floating on her back on the surface of Lake Michigan spurred him on. And by sheer force of will, he made it to the shore. Well, then there were people, passersby, who came to his aid, and he said, don't worry about me. My little girl is out there on the Lake Michigan. We have to save her. It's been more than an hour, and she's been out there in that freezing cold water. So rescue units and the Coast Guard were called in, and it was determined that they would send a helicopter out in concentric circles to ever shorten, to see if they couldn't spot this little girl on the surface of the water. But they warned the father, she's been out there on the lake in that cold water for so long, and she is so small. We do not expect her to survive. We're going out to retrieve her body. And so while the father kept his long and worried vigil on the shore, the helicopter started out making ever shorter circles. And finally, one of the crew looked down and saw a little pink spot on the surface of the water. They lowered the helicopter and released a ladder. And one of the crew began to descend the ladder in order to scoop up her body. And as he got nearer to her, he looked down at the child's body, and he saw a little hand wave. Back at the shore, the media had been alerted, and there were television cameras and microphones, and the radio personnel were there, and people from the newspaper, and they all wanted to talk to her. And they wrapped her in blankets and gave her hot chocolate to drink. And finally, one of the reporters was able to get close enough to her to put a microphone closer to her. And he said to her, little girl, what in the world enabled you to be out there in that cold water for so long? What were you thinking about? And she said, my father said he would come back for me, and I knew he would. You know, we have been made some promises by our heavenly parent. We have been promised that there is no storm which will swamp our boat, that the Lord Jesus will not be with us. We have been promised that there is no storm of life that will sink our ship without the voice of Jesus, either to the storm or to us, saying, "Peace, peace, be still." Lord Jesus, we just thank you as we remember that you indeed are not only the Lord of our lives, but that you are also the Lord of the storm and of the wind and of the rain. We thank you for the assurance that there is nothing in life or even beyond this life that can ever separate us from the circle of your love. We pray that in our fear, in our panic, that we may hear clearly your voice saying to us, "Peace, peace, be still." And may the sound of your voice, who even the wind and the rain obey, may it be our strength. In your own name and for your own sake, we pray together. Amen.